Welcome back, Ramblers. I am Fatima, your makeup lover, cheeseman enthusiast, and tea spiller.
And I'm Ricardo, a fitness coach, motivational speaker, agricultural architect, football coach, philanthropist, musician, humanitarian, and so much more. And this is
Interrupted Rambling.
Fatima. What's up? How was your week?
Pretty good. You know, keeping it busy. Same old video games.
So, is that your favorite thing of the week? Video games?
Yeah, it's been for the past weeks.
Weeks.
Months.
Okay, so we can skip this part.
I think so.
No, but is there a game in particular or something in particular?
I've been into like Overwatch lately.
No, but isn't there something else that you're gonna do?
Oh well, I'm thinking about it, but I'm like more than halfway there, So like
by the time this podcast comes out,
it should all be up live and everything. But I'm gonna start streaming.
Why are you so apprehensive about it?
Because
because
I'm still like
okay
debating.
This is why I'm like pushing her to say it, because I wanna like motivate her and I wanna have her be held accountable, you know? So by the time this podcast comes out, she should have her streaming.
Yeah. On Twitch.
Playing games.
Yes.
Overwatch, is that going to be the thing?
Yeah, I'm going to be streaming Overwatch.
For right now, that's the plan, right?
Yeah. Or any games that I play with friends and stuff, I'm going to start streaming that. I mean, I have my setup, you know, it's in the progress, but...
Okay, like, so you heard it here.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
Hold her accountable.
So... When I do, you know, I'm gonna have it on the Instagram, not on the podcast Instagram, but on my personal one, the Twitch link to go and watch me.
Watch me. Okay, now ask me.
You know what, Ricardo?
It's not about you.
No, it's more about me, okay? I'm just kidding. How's your week?
I'm just gonna say my favorite thing.
Okay.
Yeah, my week is normal like every other week. My favorite thing though, and Fatima has been the victim of this, especially today, has been Chloe and Halle. I know Do It, you know, and I like that song a lot, but I've been putting off, I don't know for what reason, I've been putting off listening to their album, Ungodly Hour, I think that's what it's called.
They already have their album out?
Yeah, it's their second album, I think.
A second?
Yeah, and it's so good. But the one song that I'm obsessed over, you know, it's my favorite thing this week, is Forgive Me. Forgive Me.
No!
Fatima loves it when they sing.
Yeah, it's great.
Boy, you got me fucked up. Boy, you got me fucked up. That's the only lyric I know. And Forgive Me. Forgive Me.
But hit the note.
Musician. No, but that song is amazing. The whole album is amazing. And I don't know why, like I said, I don't know why I put it off. But yeah, that's my favorite thing this week. Other than that, here's the episode. So stick around and see what made Fatima say this.
I wanted to be white when I was younger. And what made Ricardo say this.
Like, fuck you, bitch, motherfucker.
Say it now.
Fuck you. Today's episode is the one about becoming aware of racism.
So Ricky, how did you feel with the, you know, recent Capitol attack?
Capitol attack?
Yeah.
I felt disappointed, but not surprised. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because.
I agree.
You agree? You were not surprised either?
No, because, you know, there was a lot of... Like, you saw, at least for me, I kind of saw it coming, something like that, you know, they would revolt against, you know, what society had already picked.
Uh-huh.
But I just, it was really shocking for me to see the consequences compared to when the protest last year of Black Lives Matter, where they literally brought in, like,
Military
and all of this stuff, and in this case they were like really calm about this attack at the Capitol, and they were like guiding them through the Capitol, and it's like, Why is that? Like, it's that really, that was what was surprising for me.
Oh, that was surprising? The fact that they were letting them in, or that the contrast, you mean?
The contrast of it all, and, like, them stating that, oh, no, they're not being racist, or mm-hmm. they're not against, you know, a group of people yeah. or anything, but, like, it was shown in uh-huh. media, yes, there is an issue, there is a problem. People wake up. What the heck mm-hmm. is going on? But
for me, I don't necessarily uh-huh. think that, and I'm not saying that you're saying it is negative, but I don't necessarily see that as a negative because, like you said, it showed how clear the treatment was, you know?
Yeah.
And it shows how people have been saying that this is how the difference, you know, how people are treated. So to show that and see it so clearly, I think in a way, I'm not saying it's positive, but it's a positive aspect that you maybe some people their eyes are opened, you know, seeing how it is a clear division between how
right
what was it, I think there was five deaths,
I think so,
and there was one of them was a police, they killed the police, you know, a policeman, so like Blue Lives Matter, what was that all about, you know, when
the same group of people that yeah. went are supporting the white terrorists.
Yeah.
Blue Lives Matter, yet they went and they
killed a cop,
which it's like the irony of it all. It's like
the hypocrisy.
The hypocrisy of it all. Like, come on now. But there's, like, you have to, you know, admit that there's still people who don't see the clear picture.
They still see that they were doing something right?
Yes.
They still think that, right? Yeah.
Yes. And I know people.
One person. Well, no, people in like in real life. That's
in real life, yeah. I know one person who is adamant of Blue Lives Matter, and you know
they were patriots. Those people.
Yes.
And this is not just, like I'm laughing because I laugh when I'm uncomfortable, you know, and it's an uncomfortable situation. So yeah. That's why I'm laughing.
And it is like it's a really heavy topic,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I'm kind of hesitant a bit because I need to make sure that what I want to say sounds adequate and
mm-hmm. and it is what you feel.
Exactly, like
still
I don't
expresses how you feel.
Yes, and mm-hmm. I just don't want to say something without thinking about it, and then later just sound it mm-hmm. completely off, and mm-hmm. it's like that's not what I'm trying. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm trying to say, but yeah, so I. It's just unbelievable. Like, you see it. You have eyes. Do you not? Like, look at these two events yeah. that happened. They were similar,
mm-hmm.
but not even that similar because
yeah,
they
were,
in the protests,
yeah.
they did not go and they vandalized a historic location.
The Capitol.
You know?
People, where politicians were, you know, like, we've seen the news come out since they happened and you saw that there was plans. Is that what it's called? The word plans? To kill people,
mm-hmm.
right?
I think so.
So, like, they wanted to kill certain politicians, you know, Nancy Pelosi being one of them. And it's scary how close they got to them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And like you mentioned at the beginning, it was because there was a lack of people in power, you know, police, military, there to protect them.
Yeah.
There was videos shown where they opened the doors for them.
Yeah, not just that, but it's like, when the Black Lives Matter movement was going on last year, you know, the police were there. Like, they were ready. Mm-hmm. They were prepared before. Mm-hmm. Like, they were already anticipating a protest. Not an attack, yeah. a protest. Mm-hmm. But in this other event that happened, they were more, like, prepared of a protest instead of an attack.
Not even, I think.
Like, they were just.
And it was evident that it was going to be an attack. I remember oh, you
yeah.
telling me
they,
that.
They
that,
were. It was going around. It was going
the,
around.
The president at that time, you know, Trump was instigating it.
Right. Exactly. So it's like how, like, it's just, it's mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. And the fact that not everyone sees it clearly on this big issue that is going on, mm-hmm. that is so mind-boggling for me.
Yeah.
Like, what else do you need? Like,
yeah.
you're looking at it, compare and contrast is something you learned in, like, fifth, sixth grade. Use it. Like, come on now. Like, it's
yeah.
it is a lot.
I think an interesting part of this whole situation was how politicians, and I saw this on TikTok, you know how TikTok is so political sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it where it's like, politicians finally saw how it feels when schools are under attack. Like, you know, like a shooter, you know, shooter drill or whatever. And it's like, this is something like another thing, you know, that like politicians don't think about and until they experience it themselves. And this shouldn't be the case for things, you know, like you shouldn't be for a certain thing just because you don't, you're not the victim of it. You know what I mean? Just because you're, for example, with disabilities. So just because you're able-bodied and you can walk, advocate and be an ally for people who have a disability and for ramps, for example, if we make it simple as that, you know, just because you don't need ramps doesn't make that you shouldn't be for them. You know what I mean?
Right.
You should still support that accessibility for everyone. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, it's like they don't see the problem or they don't see a problem until it happens to them. So I hope that it does change something. With the impeachment, you know, it was sad to see that how many, I think it was just 7 Republicans that voted to impeach Trump, which is such a low number, you know, and like finally Twitter like took him off, you know, but it was 4 years too late. Like I said,
the damage has been done.
The damage has been done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to say, being Black History Month and all, I kind of wanted to start it from the beginning, or at least from our lives, you know?
Yeah.
Do you remember a specific time where, like, you're, like, you became aware of racism?
I want to say with my family, like, my mom, she was very adamant against, I think, like, Filipinos.
Filipinos?
Yes. Okay. I never really understood, but she would just say, oh, they're this or that, and all, you know.
And at that age, you don't question it.
Right, because I'm just like, I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. But, like, that did not influence me, because, again, I think maybe because of the area where I lived, there wasn't many Filipinos or Asian people living in that area, so I never really encountered a lot, and when I did, I want to say I wasn't mean to them.
Yeah,
I don't recall, because this was a long time ago, but I remember my mom, you know, just expressing that,
do
oh,
you
they're
not know
that.
Why? Like a specific,
I don't
or was
remember.
It just something that she also heard from other people?
Honestly, you know? I don't even know. Like, I never, like,
you never asked.
I never asked her. She told me. I don't remember what exactly it was, but I think it was just like a stereotype, honestly. But I was just like, okay, and you know. But then another one was like, my mom would always tell me like that I would end up marrying or being with like a Black person.
Oh,
an African American. Yeah,
and was this said in a negative way or like?
I want to say, like, now that I think about it, like, some things that she said were pretty racist. I don't know if they were in that, like, negative kind of. Probably they are.
I think a lot of things are subconscious, you know? Like,
yes.
Like we said, we grew up in a racist society, you know? Racism is taught to us. And it's one of those things where, like, if you reminded me of something where there's a lot of questioning of, like, when you do get married, like, you know, when parents talk about their kids getting married, the ideal would be you marrying another, we're Mexican, you know?
Yeah.
You marrying another Mexican person.
Yeah.
And then after that would be another Latino, right?
Right.
And then after that it would be what? A white person maybe, because they
have
they have a higher, more successful possibilities, I would say.
Right.
You know, to succeed. And then after that, you know, you kind of go down the line, but it's like, I remember hearing this where it's like kind of like not blatant, kind of like how your mom was saying it, but it's like the negative, the most negative out of all of them would be marrying a Black person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And why is that? You know, like if we talk about love, you know, and loving people for who they are, why is it that there's a hierarchy of like, of course we want to be, ideally would it be Mexican with Mexican, but then it would be like, you know, there's a different priority.
Right. I think that's just like within our culture. It's just something that has always, and like I mentioned, like mejorar la raza. Literally that's what it is.
It's about like a light skin, you know, it's like,
oh, yeah.
If you marry a white guy, it was like, maybe your babies are going to be pretty, quotation marks for those kids that can't see, you know, it will be more pretty light skin and with color
with
eyes.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know, like my mom, like she never really said for me to date like a light skinned person. She always just made a comment like, oh, you're going to have, you know, like a Black boyfriend. And I was just like, what? Like, why are you saying
like,
that?
Did you have a crush on a Black actor when you were young? Or no? just came out of nowhere.
I had a friend who was black.
I think that might be it.
But that, like, we would play outside and stuff. And but, and yeah, my mom just, I guess my mom saw that of like, oh, like, you know, he's gonna be your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But
It was a boy.
But I was like, no, we mm-hmm. just play and stuff. But I just find it odd. And then, like, my mom, like, the comment she would make, like, I don't know if I should say it, but she would, because he was a darker complexion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, she would use a like, word that it sounds very negative, almost.
Yes, but more like a...
Is it M? Eh? Does it start with M? No? Okay.
No. O sea,
because I've heard people refer to them as mayate, and to me that sounds very negative.
I've heard that word too, but I just think depending on the connotation and how they use it. But I've never heard it too often. At least I've never heard my parents.
No. But I'm saying in general, yeah. I've heard of that word being used, same. and it's never in a positive manner. It's always in a derogatory.
Yeah.
So that's
no,
why.
No, she would just basically compare his skin tone to an object that was dark.
Okay.
So, yeah. Like, a tire. Mm-hmm. And I always was like, that's not nice. Mm-hmm. Like, and I would always say, like, don't say that. Like, that's not, like, why, I don't understand. Like, first, why are you insinuating uh-huh. that I'm going to end up mm-hmm. with someone who is black? He's just a friend. Like, there was mm-hmm. nothing, you know, yeah. there. Like, you would come
you're
and,
probably
like,
also
play.
Really young, right?
Yeah. I was, mm-hmm. like, in elementary.
Yeah, super young. See. So. And it's one of those things where, like, you're in elementary school, you're already being... You know, taught this kind yeah. of things, you know, like, in your head already. So, well, no, keep
so,
going.
So, but, like, I mean, I've had, you know, friends who were black, African-American. And, you know, one of them, I was in, like, sixth grade. And mm-hmm. We were good friends and everything. But she moved, so then that was that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't know, like, it's just, like, my mom that, I guess that would be my first kind of thing, like, mm-hmm. in home.
Yeah.
But my mom was never really, like...
Constantly talking about it.
Cause yes. Because there's some people like, that are like, oh, I hate them, yeah, or they're like this, they're that, they're blah, 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 blah. Like...
Well, that's the reality some people, other people face, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So other people are, within the families, they are talking about, like, different, yeah. you know, people. And...
But then, I think another one that was really big mm-hmm. was when, like, 9/11 happened.
Oh, yes.
And I think that one, we were, like, in elementary. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of... Us, like, millennials were, like, in
you're,
elementary.
You're, like, third grade, right?
I want to say, like, third grade, yeah. fourth, something like that. Mm-hmm. So, when that happened, like, again, like, a lot of, like, racism against Muslim people mm-hmm. and that they're terrorists and
this was even, amplified by the media.
Oh, yeah. Know? Yes, 100%. So, like, another thing is, like, the media. Mm-hmm. The media is also part of the mm-hmm. issue and the problem of how young people... view mm-hmm. because if the parent at home is already telling the child, oh, this and mm-hmm. all this racism stuff, and then they see that the media is also doing, they're like, oh, so you know, it's true what's yeah. going on, but yeah. it's like it's not, and mm-hmm. it's all controlled by, you know, the
it's how you grew up, and you can't escape it, you know.
Unfortunately
for me, the first thing that I remember, and it's kind of later in life, but it's something that like, I can kind of pinpoint it, you know, right where, okay. where when it happened. But before I go with that story, same, it was, like, I did have, like, even within friends of our age group, is like, don't go over there. There's a lot of black kids, you know, and it was one of those things, like you said, you don't question it. But the first form, like, kind of like a racism that I remember and I can point, a specific example is in sixth grade camp.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to sixth grade camp, one of those days, it was sprinkling, and I remember there was a group of, like, three black girls outside, and as soon as it started sprinkling, they started screaming, and they started saying, oh my god, I can't get my hair wet, mm-hmm. you know, like, I can't get my hair wet, and I didn't know at that time why, and the only thing I remember is that another group of people just started making fun of them, you know? And okay. it was a point of, like, bullying, not, like, intense, you know, but at that age, it was a point of, like, making fun of them from, like, the other days. But that's one that I can kind of remember, you know?
Yeah.
Other than that, I just feel like that's the hardest part, that you can't really pinpoint in a specific instance because yeah. it's spread out throughout your whole life.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where, like, you don't think about it unless mm-hmm. you're asked the question of when did you become aware of racism mm-hmm. in your life?
Because when you're little, like how you said, like you didn't pick your friends based on color. Like you were friends with this little black kid that your mom was like, you're gonna be boyfriend and girlfriend, but you didn't pick him, you know, because of his skin color. You picked him because you had fun with him, right?
Exactly.
You're his friend because of that.
Right. So it's just a lot, mm-hmm. like that goes on, and it's something that, like you said, we weren't aware when we were mm-hmm. young, but once, you know, you grow up and then you go to school, college, and this is where, like, you actually learn a lot of this stuff, mm-hmm. and then you actually start questioning why.
Yeah.
And then you do your research, and then, so, like, I just want to ask, you know, the audience, like, you know, let us know, you know, send us a message and everything. When was the first time that you guys became aware of racism? Like, think about it. Because honestly...
Because we don't think about it.
We don't think about it. So, like, right now, I'm just, like... When you ask the question, I was, like, trying to think quick. But I'm, like... Well, there's this one. But then there's this. But then it's also happened because when I was younger, mm-hmm. I don't really recall clearest day. Because mm-hmm. I don't think about it. It's something that's just, you know, in the back of my head.
It was seen as normal, almost, in a way.
Right.
Until now. It doesn't stand out. Mm-hmm. I have another question. And maybe... And it's kind of related. And maybe this one, you do have a clearer... sense of when it happened, but like, do you remember the first time, well, not the first time, an example of when you experienced direct racism from another person by being Mexican, being Latino, being a little bit dark skin color? You had them sometime, or you
honestly, it's again one of those mm-hmm. things where I don't put thought to it mm-hmm. because for me as a person, I'm like. You can say whatever you want to me, but, like, if I don't let you hurt me, it's not going to get to me.
I'm the exact same. I agree that, like, I feel like, I think that words have a very strong
power. Yes.
But it's also how much power
you let them have.
I think I said this before, or we talked about this, maybe just in person. But, yeah, it's as much as how much power you give it to them.
Right.
So you're saying, but that doesn't take away from the fact that what they said was racist, you know?
Or, yes. So,
like, thinking about it that way.
I want to say it was more, like, I can think about, like, maybe microaggressions, but mm-hmm. I didn't put much thought into mm-hmm. it. And I was just like, okay, whatever. I would be like, what was the reason? What was the reason? America, explain. So, this was in high school, and...
Spill the tea, sis.
Let's go. This was in high school. I don't remember what grade. I want to say maybe, like, sophomore or junior year, uh-huh. I think. And the school where I went to is, you know, mainly more on the Latino side.
But even more Mexican, right? Because it is very near the border.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. So, I would, you know, speak Spanish mm-hmm. with my friends and everything. And then before class started, this girl, I don't even remember her name because again, it's one of those things where I'm just like, it's mm-hmm. not important in my mm-hmm. life. I'm not going to remember, but I do remember that the girl, she looked at me and she's like, oh my, and then I started speaking English in mm-hmm. class and she's like, oh my gosh, you speak really good English. And I'm just like,
why shouldn't I?
Yeah. I was like, thank you. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. Like, why? She was, oh, because you know, you were speaking Spanish. I thought you would have an accent in English. But you don't have an accent in English, nor in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I'm like...
So what do you think the purpose of them saying that? Do you think they meant it as a compliment?
I mean, I'll take it because, girl, I know Spanish and English. And, honey, you only know English. But that's the only... Like, that was a conversation. Like, mm-hmm. oh, my gosh, I'm surprised you know really your English is really good. And I'm just like, thanks. But, again, like, we never really mm-hmm. spoke words too much to mm-hmm. each other. And I was like, thank you. Like, it was awkward for me. Like, yeah. What do you want me to say?
Like, how am I supposed to? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think... I'll let you think of more.
Okay.
I have one that was kind of funny a year ago. Take a shot. I was a server.
Take a shot.
So I remember this one shocked me because it was so blunt. So I came, it was a table of a dad and a son, which I later learned, you know, but at the time I didn't know. Okay. But they had a plant with them and they were going to eat during happy hour. So it was just me and then another coworker. But I was the one taking the table, and I went and did the usual, you know, like, hi, how are you doing? You know, like, what can I get you started with? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. And kind of like before their food came out, the dad was like, do you know anything about plants? And I'm like, no, not really. And then he's like, really? Aren't your people really good at gardening?
Aren't your people?
Yeah, he said that. Aren't your people really good at gardening? And, like, I was at work, you know? So it's one of those things where, like, I can't...
He can't be... Yeah.
I can't be like, fuck you, bitch, motherfucker.
Say it now. Say it now.
Fuck you. No, my people are great at everything.
But you aren't. I'm just kidding.
No, but he... So it took me by surprise,
well,
you know?
Yeah, like, well, how can you respond, especially, like, you're at work?
Yeah, and you know how, like, I giggle with everything, basically, yeah. You know? So, like, my immediate reaction was to giggle. And then it was one of those things where, like, he said it again. So I'm like, I heard you the first time. In my head, I'm like, I heard you the first time. I'm like, no, my people are not good at it. He's like, wasn't your dad, like, didn't your dad ever garden? I'm like, no. And I'm like, my dad was actually a baker. So I told him, you know, what he was. And he's like, well, okay, whatever. So he's like, because I have a, and then he showed me the plant that he had in his bag, you know. And I kind of just left it. And then I went back to my coworker and I was like, this motherfucker, you know,
yeah.
is being racist to me.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, I couldn't retaliate. And then I went back. I think the time that I went to drop off the food, he's like, you want to hear a joke? And I'm like, I said yes. You know, like yeah. I said again. So he was like, what was the joke? I remember the punchline, but I don't remember the joke. It was something like, what do you call two Latinos, Mexicans playing basketball?
Juan.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It was that. That was the punchline. So, like, I did my usual nervous, polite, if you can call it polite, giggle, and just laugh. I literally did not say anything after that. I just dropped off the food, giggled, and left. And I was like, okay, this is it. I'm like, I'm not going to interact with them anymore. So, I'm like... told my coworker, I'm like,
yeah,
can you from now on
just take care just of this take, table? Yeah.
And they were already eating, so he only had to go check on how, you know, their food was and then drop off the check. But yeah, that's the one I remember clearly. Where
that each... is, I think it made it like worse the fact that I said, aren't your people good at gardening?
Yeah,
but I feel like if he would have said at least for me, if he would have just said the joke, I'd be like, oh, I've heard it before, so I'd be like, oh, I've heard it before, yeah. But, like, the thing about it, like, those jokes, growing up, were very normal. Like, mm-hmm. your mama jokes, mm-hmm. and, like, those kind... those are low-key racist jokes, uh-huh. honestly.
No, yeah.
There's a lot of them, too.
And kind of like how you said, I think if he would have just said the joke, it would have been... I wouldn't have been as offended, but because he had already said the...
offended you.
Yeah, the thing before...
And you already know where he was coming from. Like, it just makes you question more, like, what was the reason for you telling me mm-hmm, this joke? Mm-hmm. And particularly the fact that you're mentioning my culture mm-hmm. or, you know, my background. Mm-hmm. Like, why didn't you tell me a knock-knock joke? No, yeah. You went specifically for that racism
joke.
Because,
like, he automatically assumed that I was Hispanic, Latino, Mexican.
You could have been white.
I could have been, because I've also gotten in that I look Filipino, and I see it, you know?
Really?
Yeah, I got in that often, but it's like, well, first of all, we were conquered by the same people. But it's like, he assumed already, and it's one of those things where, like, I feel like a lot of times, this could also be a microaggression, I think. It's like when people ask you, where are you from? You know? Like, why are you asking me that? Would you ask a white person that? You know? Where are you from?
Yeah, that's true.
Or like, was English your first language? Why are you asking me that also, you know? Like, would you ask a white person that also? You know?
Right. Because, like, I mean, think about it. There's white-skinned people who are immigrants, and yeah. they're not from the States.
If you think about it that way, is a lot of times when people phrase the thing with, like, illegal immigrants, they always think of Mexicans. And that's the biggest one, because our ex-president, I can finally say that, you know? Our ex-president was one of the biggest perpetrators, you know?
Yeah.
But like you said, white people can be immigrants also. Yep. And they can be illegal as well.
Exactly.
But I was gonna say, that and another one, which, like, until I was a little bit older, I started to be more adamant about it, and I kind of, I've been at fault at it also, but the pronunciation of my name.
Okay, yeah.
So, I grew up, I don't know if it was a way for me to, like, make it easier on people to say my name, but I would say my name is Ricardo, and... to me, that sounds very, very Anglified, you know?
Oh,
it doesn't sound... because my name is Ricardo. Even though I can't really roll my R's. I think that's part of it also. Like Carlo, I can't... that's as far as I can say it.
Carlos?
Carlos. But I'm not rolling it. You know, like Carlos.
It's a light roll.
Yeah, it still sounds accurate, yes. But it's not like a roll like you. Do you roll your R?
Carlos.
See, I can't do that. Yeah, I can't like Nicki Minaj. I can't do that. You know, so yeah. I think it's a combination of me not being able to roll my R's, mm-hmm. and me making it easier for people to say my name.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, I think at the first podcast that we did, I said Ricardo,
my
right?
My name's Ricardo. But do you remember that at the beginning, you were like, oh, yeah, I'm going to say Ricardo.
Yeah.
Because that's how you say my name.
And that's how like, I like okay, to say
so,
my name.
So, yes. But then when we put record, he goes, hi, my name's Ricardo. And I looked at you, I was like, Ricardo?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You said it's Ricardo. Mm-hmm, like, what mm-hmm. What the heck? No, but I agree with, like, the...
Because you have a unique name also for white people, for American people
yes. to say. Yes, English speakers to English say. Speaker. Yes, so my name's Fatima. And mm-hmm. like I said, every time I introduce myself, I say Fatima mm-hmm. because it sounds beautiful. Fatima.
You like
and, but, okay. Story time.
Story time.
Story wait, time.
Okay. What would be the title? And think of it. Think of it in 1 second. What would be the title of the story time? Think about it. Take a second. It has to be clickbait because that's how you get the views from Instagram. It has to be accurate, but like a clickbaity.
I wanted to be white when I was younger.
Oh. Perfect. That would be a perfect.
Okay. This was elementary school. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I hated my name. I think it's normal. I feel like a lot of people can.
Yeah.
When mm-hmm. they're young, they hate their name. I hated my name. And I think one of the reasons why I hated my name was because they didn't pronounce my name right. Or they would make fun of my name, but I mm-hmm. didn't really let it get to me. You know, at school, I'm just like, whatever. So my name is Fatima. And a lot of people would say Fatima. Mm-hmm. Fatima. That is the worst one.
We had a teacher just like a year ago.
Yeah, call me Fatima for like 3 years and shit. Anyways, so they would call me Fatima. And then obviously my name, you spell it Fatima. So the first three letters say it's fat. Mm-hmm. So then kids were like, oh my gosh, your name fat, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, I don't give a damn. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so then, you know, we actually had an assignment mm-hmm. saying like, if, you know,
you can change your name.
If you can change your name, what would it be? Bitch, I chose the name Ashley. Okay, you know why? Because back then, you know, Mary Kate and Ashley, they're so big. And I love them.
I love them too.
I love them. Bitch, I would go to Blockbuster and rent all their freaking movies.
Their movies were bomb.com.
Yes, so I would get their movies. You know, Mary Kate and Ashley. Oh, I haven't seen this one. I need to get this one, Dad.
Because they sang a lot, right? Also,
a lot. Like, probably if we would see them, we'd be like, what the fuck?
I'm like bopping to it. Yes. I remember one where there was like, pizza or something like that, and then they're like, put it in a pizza, something like that, right? Where they would put like some very weird objects, yes. like they would put yes. like chocolate syrup or something.
Oh, yes, God. Oh my gosh, I triggered a memory. The chocolate syrup. Anyways, so back then I love American Ashley. I thought they were iconic. Clear Ashley
Stan.
I was an Ashley Stan. I thought she was beautiful. I was like,
wait,
Ashley.
Was Ashley the punk one or the preppy one?
I think the preppy one.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure the
you
one.
Surprise me every single time when you pick the preppy one.
Same with like Anna. Low key, I want to be preppy, but yeah. I'm not. I can't be.
Yeah, you're such a Robert fan.
But anyway, so I picked, you know, Ashley. You know, like, uh-huh. yeah, and you know, we had to write why. Uh-huh. And I was like, because I don't like my name and this and that. And uh-huh. Ashley's just so beautiful. Uh-huh. It's this and that.
Rolls
blah,
off
blah.
Your tongue.
Yes, you know, it's easy to say and everything. But I want to be an Ashley. Mm-hmm. Look at me. I don't look like an Ashley. And then, okay, that's, yeah. So then, like, you know, years later, you know, I'm just like, and this was like already like in high school. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, oh, you know, I like my name. I like my name. Mm-hmm. You know, I love it. It's unique.
I was going to say that.
Mm-hmm. I haven't met a lot of Fatimas.
And if you have, a lot of them are like Middle Eastern, right?
Yes. Yes.
I heard of that.
Then they say the name different too.
A little differently, yeah.
And I think they have like an H in the name. I don't know, but mm-hmm. it's different. Mm-hmm. But a lot of, and this is another thing, a lot of, like when I would go to stores, you know, like my brother, whatever, they say Fatima, and they were like, oh, you're Middle Eastern? Like, what part? No, they would like tell me, like, because of my name, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh no, you know, mm-hmm. I'm Mexican, and blah, blah. And they're like, oh, and then they would all, every time, they would always tell me, oh, because Fatima, you know, it's a really popular name in, you know, Middle Eastern. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know. And she's like, how did you get your name? So then I told them the name because my mom told me why she named me Fatima and everything. They're like, oh, that's cool. But they always assume that I am Middle Eastern because of my name. So then, like, in high school, you know, teachers, obviously, when they do roll calls, Fatima, 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 Fatima. Fatima is, like, the main one. And they would ask me, oh, what's your name? And I said, Fatima. Okay, Fatima.
I'm just like... So, like, at that point, you kind of get tired of correcting them.
Honestly, in high school, I was just like, you know who I is. You know who I am. It's all good. I'm not gonna, like, struggle here and trying to get a teacher to say my name properly. Like, it's not gonna get anywhere. Like, you've known me for so long, and you still can't get my name right.
But, like, why should that be something that you are compromising about?
I think because in high school, it was just like, I don't care. I mean, like I said, I ditched school a lot. Like, I don't care. I was like, whatever. Fatima. Yes. Yes. Fatima, I'm present. I'm here. Yes. Yeah. So, but then later, like in college and stuff, how do you say Fatima? Fatima. So then in college, I would, you know, say it. But then even then, I'm just like, all right, I see that you're working on it. I see that you struggled for 5 minutes to say my name. I'll let it slide because you tried, you know, you're trying. But yeah, every time I introduce myself, I say my name, Fatima. I'm not Fatima. Oh, that sounds weird. But never, ever, ever have I ever said, hi, my name's Fatima. No, well, now, but this is an example. I've never, like, introduced myself like that.
No, and I think, like how I said, for me, I don't want to say Ricardo, but sometimes it just
I think just it's comes just out. Normal now, because there's a lot of kids, you know, who I've met. I haven't met a lot of Ricardos, actually.
I was going to say, my
but
name is
even now,
it's
I'm
not
saying Ricardo.
Ricardo. My name is not unique, but it's one of those names that I've in my life, I've only met two Ricardos.
Is that an Ricardo? I think for you, it's just normal.
Ricardos. I met, that sounds weird also. Ricardos? I met two Ricardos. Yeah, one of them was in sixth grade camp.
Oh, wow, okay.
And the other one was in college. But other than that, I haven't, like, in person, you know, meet in person.
I'm trying to think, but I think you're my first.
Which I like, Ricardo. Yeah, I like my name. And I think it's one of those things where, like, you shouldn't compromise because that is your name.
Question. So my husband's name is Sergio, right? But he says Sergio.
And yeah, I always call him Sergio.
Sergio,
right?
Yeah.
You say Sergio sometimes, huh?
Sergio, I say
you
Sergio
say it
sometimes,
right?
I when I'm speaking in Spanish, I say Sergio. But when it's in English, I'll be Sergio.
Sergio?
Sergio. Yeah, I'll be like Sergio. But no, I think I'm going to call him Sergio.
Sergio?
Like, his family calls him Sergio, like his mom, his dad.
I think I always say Sergio.
His mom and dad call him Sergio. Oh, está Sergio, está Sergio, or his nickname. So I'm just like...
Have you ever asked him, like, if he likes Sergio or Sergio better?
I've never asked him, but, like, I've noticed every time he introduces himself...
He says Sergio.
Sergio.
Yeah.
Oh, Sergio, Sergio. And I'm just like,
Sergio. Which is interesting. Yeah. That's how he liked his name.
Did I ever tell you that he had troubles pronouncing my name?
No.
Yes.
But I see it now.
So when I met his parents for the first time, he was like, oh, this is... And he paused. I swear he paused.
Are you sure it was because he didn't know your name or because he thought of another girl's name? This is
odd. No, because
this is number two. What was it?
My second option?
He brings out his book. He's like, Wednesday. Today's Wednesday, right?
No, but you know, because he looked at me and goes, this is. And then I was like, Fatima. I had to introduce myself.
How far into this was?
I want to say like 2 months.
Okay. Yeah. No, I...
But come on!
I know.
A name!
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you could have butchered it, but you could have said Fatima or something, but you hesitated, you're like... And you looked at me, so I was like, I'm Fatima.
What a great, nice first impression.
And I always, like, tell him... I always, like...
Make fun of him.
Yeah, he goes, no, I didn't forget, and I was like... You don't know how, you didn't know how to pronounce it. He's like,
yeah,
maybe.
Okay, that's so funny.
Yeah,
you never told me that story. Oh my god, that's funny.
The struggle of being a Fatima.
No, I like your name. I like my name.
I like my name because it's very unique. Like my mom, I think my mom did a good job picking like all of our names, like my siblings. Because I've never heard like my brothers. My older brother is Alonso.
Okay, the second one, I think that's the one that I don't want to hear.
Why? You don't like it?
Wait, like, okay, say so it, my brother. Say it because I think I heard it and I was like, oh, pobrecito muchacho.
Nestor.
Oh, was it? No, okay, then there was somebody else then.
Okay, so my older brother, Alonso, okay. Throughout, like, high school, I don't know how, but they wrote his name wrong on
Alfonso.
His ID.
Would they say
Alfonso? No, Alonso, but with a Z, Alonso. Oh, okay. So they would say Alonso. And I'm like, why Alonso? It's Alonso.
Even, yeah.
Okay. And then my little brother, Nestor. Or they would say Ernesto. And I'm like,
no, what? It's not short.
You're adding like two more letters to his name. It's Nestor. Or they would call him Nestor. Nestor.
Does he like his name?
I don't know. I never asked him. My older brother likes his name. Yeah, but my little brother.
I'm worried about him.
I like his name. I really like it. And I feel like it's so unique. Like, I love it. Nestor. Yeah. Nestor. Like, yeah. I've heard Ernesto, but not Nestor. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dang, mama. Like, I don't know what she did, but I don't know where she got these names from. But they're good.
Well, my brother's name is, it's also unique.
Braulio?
Yeah. How does your husband say it?
Broly? 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 Hey, Broly?
Broly.
Se le quedó? Broly?
Yeah, Broly. Yeah.
I've actually, okay, where I work, there's a little kid named Braulio.
Oh, really? Oh. Is he a devil? We're not gonna say plead the fifth. Anyways,
but yes,
should we take a break?
I think so because we're talking about names. I know.
My dream name.
My apologies, guys.
Anyways, let's take a break. Break. And we're back again. So we're gonna take it back to the topic, okay?
The important. Yes.
We rambled a little bit. Well, it has to do with the title of the podcast. Same with interrupting, because I interrupt you a lot.
Yes.
But it's planned that way, right?
Yes.
Right?
Help. I'm just kidding.
Anyway, growing up, I think it's funny. You mentioned how you start learning, like when you're older, the ways that how the world...
Society works.
Society. We're going to talk about the U.S., you know, how it is racist in its nature.
Yeah.
So for me, I remember one thing that I remember pretty clearly was how, because I was a political science major.
Mm-hmm.
So the gerrymandering that would go on. So I don't know if you know what that means.
Not really. I don't really hear that word. What
so,
is
it? So it's basically a way that politicians, people in power, divide like a district, city, county, whatever. Okay. They divide it in a way to
strategically.
Yeah, they do it strategically to get a better outcome for them. So, for example, if there's a heavy POC population,
mm-hmm.
and they know that if area would be a district that somebody that is POC as a candidate would get elected, they don't want that, you know? So a way to prevent that would be to cut that district maybe in half. I'm just saying in half in this instance, but it can be into threes, you know, it can be two different. So imagine this district that, like I said, it's very heavy. They cut it in a way to split it in half, and now they have they're no longer the majority in this new created area.
Okay.
So when elections come and somebody's trying to get elected, now that what at one point those people were going to elect, it's no longer a reality, you know?
Okay.
So, for example, it's one of those things where, like, you see it on the map, it's literally, its lines are, they are, like, you would think that it would be, like, a square line, you know?
Uh-huh.
Or it would follow, like, an area that's naturally kind of together. But no, it's, like, squiggly lines. And it's, like, imagine if I didn't, I had to, I know this population is right here, so I'm trying to avoid this. I literally would make this, you know, the line, you know,
okay.
So like excluding everything, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's very strategic. It's not like by population size, you know, like there's 25,000 people here. I'm just going to divide it because that's how many people there is. No, it's like very strategic how they do it. So that's one way, you know, that is very, very, the system is very racist. Another one is how, like, for example, we know that, people in poverty oftentimes are people of color. yeah. black people, you know, Hispanics, Latinos. And if you think about it, their neighborhoods are oftentimes filled with unhealthy eating options. Yes. Which is a lot of, like, fast food. Mm-hmm. If they want to get fresh produce, it's far away, you know? So it's like, this is a way that it keeps these people at a cycle that they're eating this food. And you know how fast food is bad for your health. Yeah. You know, you get chronic diseases later on, diabetes, you know, cholesterol, all those things. This is the way, like, if you see it, go to one of your, I'm doing quotes again, your poor neighborhoods and look around how many grocery stores there are yeah. compared to fast food. Now go to, like, a place here in San Diego, if we think about it, go to a place like in La Jolla and look at how many fast food places are. Or how many, like, not chain restaurants there are in, like, fast food places.
You know, I've noticed it. I remember one day when we went hiking in La Jolla. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, what do you want to eat? What's nearby? And we, like, literally looked for fast food because we didn't want to dine in or anything. Mm-hmm. And I think the dine-ins were not open.
Mm-hmm. So we had to drive away,
right? So we had to drive away to get to, the nearest, In-N-Out.
Mm-hmm. So that's done for a reason, you know?
That is crazy.
So, right? And it's something that it's things that you don't necessarily think about.
Right.
You know? But it's like once you
not just that, but it's things that like you said, I didn't know and I like no one really like informed mm-hmm. and I feel like there's a lot of people who don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm one of them. So right now you told me this. Mm-hmm. So now like when I drive by I will be more aware of looking at it and counting how mm-hmm. many fast food
Mm-hmm. If you look at it, how like the school districts also, you know, like how many schools does that district has, how many parks does that area has, you know, because like people go to parks and they're active, you know, but yeah. if there's only one park at a very, you know, poor community, like is there really, you know, are people really benefiting from this, you know?
Right.
And then the biggest one, and I think the thing that I when I started to become more aware of racism was when I got into entertainment, if you think about it as a whole. Because mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things where, like, entertainment, for me, at least, it's a way that it's easier to digest messages. You know, because if you're being entertained, you're more open to sit down and pay attention to what the message is. Because, like, no matter what, even reality TV, everything has a message. You know, everything, there's a director that had a point of view that they want to convey, you know?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, for me, it was one of those things where, like, with whole pop culture, it's like, why is it sometimes, like, for example, if you think about, like, the, We Love It. What's his name? Flavor Flav. Yeah, Flavor of Love. You know,
That's such a great show. Really? Thank you for introducing it to me. I love it.
But it's like one of those things where, like, at one point, that type of show was seen as ratchet, you know, ghetto, trash, mm-hmm. and then, you know, like, other shows with a more...
Like The Bachelor, white The Bachelorette. Cast.
Yeah, all those, you know, Love Island, I think that's one, yeah. you know, like...
They're elegant, they're sophisticated, yeah. fancy.
Even though sometimes people still, like, talk bad about them, you know, talk bad about reality shows as a whole, mm-hmm. but it's like, it doesn't take away from the fact that this was an entertaining show at the beginning, and it's, like, it's adapted, you know, and it's, like, it's still seen as, like, the separation is real. Another one, it's, like, how a lot of our pop culture slang, lingo, lexicon, vernacular is gotten from black people. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of it's gotten from people from the LGBT community, trans women, to be more exact, trans black women. So... And we're spill the tea says, you know, that's a specific example, you know, like we're also part of it because like a lot of our slang that we use, me and yes. you, it's very much like, for example, period.
Yeah.
How do you say it? You can say it. I can't say it.
And that's on period.
See, so that all that comes from black people and that's probably my favorite saying ever, and you know where it comes from, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and it's like a black drag queen, and it's like, but then it became popular when? When white Bisco girls were doing that, remember? And oop.
So like, I never understood the Bisco girls.
Oh, the
yeah, that version? Too. What the heck?
I don't know. I didn't understand that.
Say the turtles.
Say the turtles. No straws, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Wait, they just popped out of nowhere.
And they left.
Yes, and they just and they took an I-oop with them. I-oop.
You know, maybe
because I
know we say it still.
So no, I know, but like I know where an I-oop came from. Okay, from that video.
It was the biggest meme for that year, which was 2018 or 2019?
I think 18.
Yeah, okay, whichever year.
But then, you know, the whole VSCO girls coming in and they were saying it, and I'm just like, what? Why? And then they like, basically.
It's like ownership.
Now,
they had ownership.
Yes, because now when you think of, and I, at least for me, I know where it came from, and that is why I say it, because I'm quoting that video. Mm-hmm. But I feel like nowadays, a lot of the kids are like, and I oop and like, oh, you must be VSCO girl. I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. Why are you taking this?
It's and that happens so often. So often. But another one, it's like Shook to the core. Although it also came from Black culture, but it's like it became popular when that girl that says Merry Chrysler, you know, Merry Christmas, Merry Chrysler. Yeah, when she said I'm Shooketh, you know, that's when it became popular and mainstream.
Yeah.
What else? By Felicia, you know where that comes from.
Oh, yeah,
from that
movie.
Receipts, you know what that means, you know. Mm-hmm. Beat your face. Like, all no cap, on fleek, eyebrows on fleek.
The fuck.
Slade. So it's like, it's all those things like Slade, Reed, Shade, Snatch My Wig, you know. What else? Joss, Gucci, when people like do that, keeping it 100. All those things that are popular, it's like, first when they start off, they're, once again, they're seen as ghetto, ratchet, trash. But then when white people start using them, it's like, it's trendy.
More, you know, yeah, it's trendy, hip, acceptable.
And it's cool, you know, all the cool kids are doing it. But like I said, we're also part of it. And then I'm not saying it's a negative thing, because like I said, I'm aware of it. I'm not like 100% aware of the background of it a lot. But it's like, at least I know now a little bit, but it's like, we still use it, you know?
Right. So then the question here is, should we not use it?
No, I think we're welcome to use it, but as long as, like,
we know where it came from?
Yeah.
Or, like, we acknowledge it as well.
I think that's the key, acknowledging it.
Yeah.
So, kind of like how you mentioned with the VSCO girls. If everybody is like, oh my god, you're so hip because you know the VSCO girls, you know? But it's like, no, I know Inayu because of this Jasmine Masters. I should say her name. You know, give her credit. Jasmine Masters was the one that I've watched that video so many times.
It's so good.
But that's what I mean. Like, so I think it's important to, like, it's the thing with, like, what were we talking about? Appropriation and appreciation, you know? I think that's the biggest difference when people talk about it, you know?
Right.
But I was gonna say another thing, it's like the to do with entertainment is music, you know. Everybody knows, especially if you heard of the second episode, the one about Beyonce. I don't know if it was the second episode, but an episode like a couple back, that I'm a huge Beyonce fan. And but the thing is that I think Black people have always been innovators, especially here in San Diego, not San Diego, in the U.S. African Americans, you know, also in Africa, a lot of music comes from Africa.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't oftentimes acknowledge their origins and the roots, you know? And it's, once again, like with rap, you know, when why is it that, like, popular music right now is what? Hip hop and rap, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot.
But it's like, it's like when it was before, it was seen, once again, the words, like, and this is the thing when we talked about, like, words have a lot of meaning, because they ghetto, trash, ratchet are always negative, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, why is it that when they're doing it and they're the pioneers, it's seen as something negative, but then when it becomes mainstream and white, it's like seen as a positive. And for example, it's easy for white people to go into Black music genres, because think about it, when, like, even though she received a little bit of backlash, Miley Cyrus, you know, when she started twerking and she started doing Black music, you know?
Yeah.
She could do it still. She was still successful at it. But then it's harder for, like, a Black person to succeed in, like, country music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's his name? Little Nas.
Nas. X something, right? I think it's Little Nas X.
He had to fight for Old Town Road to be considered a country song. because they didn't consider it a country song until Billy Ray Cyrus came into it
and featured in it.
Then it was considered a country song. And that song, I think, broke the record for the amount of time it was in number one, you know? And it's once again one of those things, like I said, it's like it's harder for people of color to go into white, quotation marks again, white musical genres than it is the opposite. You know, so I was gonna say that to me, it's when it like became very evident. I'm like, oh my god. Another big one was Luke Cage. I don't know if you've seen that show.
Oh yeah, the Marvel. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm aware of the show. Yeah.
So like I saw that and I loved it. It was such a good show. I don't know if you want to watch it again. You know, and it's so good. It's like very poignant. I can't pronounce that word. Poignant? I don't know if you know what that word means. I don't know if I know what that word means, but I'm trying to use it. It's very poignant. Oh, I can't think of another word.
Synonym. Use another word.
Synonym. I can't think of another word to use, but the social issues that it talks about, you know, which are presented through entertainment. And one of the biggest form of entertainment for movies and TV shows is superheroes, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought it was very cool how, like, it had a lot of messages and things of that nature. But same with the media, I wanted to go back and ask you a question, because I'm talking too much. I wanted to ask you a question of, do you remember how racism and, to a certain extent, more in Mexico, colorism was prominent in entertainment?
Yes, in telenovelas. I mean, every protagonist was light-skinned, and if they had a bonus of colored eyes, light hair, you got the spot.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. I do remember at one point it was like the dark hair and dark eyes, but they were still light-skinned.
Light-skinned, uh-huh.
And then they went into...
Like, if you think about it, who is the dark-skinned protagonist of telenovelas? I can think of one, and even then, she's not very light.
Who?
Ana Brenda.
Oh, yeah. But she's like more on the lighter side.
But I mean, like, if you think about it, she's the darkest one that I can think of.
Yes.
And like you said, she's very light-skinned still.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, who else?
Maite Perroni, but I think she rolls in the same...
No. Maite Perroni is super light to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't think there was ever, like, a dark complexion girl protagonist, and even like the male. I can't
a male. I have one also, but even who? Then he's also
who?
Fernando Colunga.
Oh my gosh, I'm blanking.
Fernando Colunga. He was with Lucero in a lot of
okay, yeah. So
you know who it is?
Yes.
Right, he's kind of my skin color, right?
You think so?
You think he's lighter or darker?
I think
than
so,
me?
Lighter.
I think he tans a lot also, so maybe that has to do with it.
Yeah.
But him, he's the only guy also that I think of.
Yeah, most of them are like white, blonde hair, colored eyes, or just
and
light
complexion. If you think about it, a lot of them are also foreigners.
Yes.
Even though they speak Spanish, you know, they're foreigners. So it's like, why is it that you're creating entertainment for the Mexican people, but the people that are being represented or the people that are on screen are foreigners that do not look like the general population?
Exactly. Not just that, but like most of the actors are like not, like you said, they're foreigners, but like they moved to Mexico when they were young and, you know, they're Mexican because, you know, they did their citizenship or whatever, but it's like...
But they consider themselves Mexican also.
But you look at them like, oh, they're from Spain. They're from France.
Yeah.
They're from here. They're in it's...
I think for people, a lot of people, Mexico is what, for a lot of people, the U.S. is, you know? So once you make it in Mexico, you kind of have it set. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And once you make it in the U.S., like the crossover, you know, you kind of have it set.
Yeah. And then also, like, within the telenovelas, you would see, like, the more darker complexion characters be the help.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if you see yourself, do you see yourself?
You would either be, you would be the help, not just that, but you would have, like an accent, like you were from, like, I don't know, El Rancho, or, poverty.
And you were not smart, you were not educated.
Yeah, you were not educated, you were not smart, so when you would speak, you would be clumsy, and you would just have, like, this accent and, like, you know, basically, like, act dumb in a way.
I would say
like
that,
they're
I would
like say that's very accurate. Not dumb, but maybe more like a naive.
That's the word.
Naive, that because you like, didn't people know are gonna about take the advantage world. Of you. Yeah, uh-huh. Exactly. So it's like, come on now. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, but it like, continues. Mm-hmm. Like if you see that in novelas now and back then, the same roles, the same storyline, everything is the same, and it keeps going. And it's like an okay.
I was gonna say that because when we talked about plugging another episode. Childhood nostalgia one. Mm-hmm. We talked about Belinda. We grew up when Belinda was making telenovelas, and you wanted to be Belinda, you know. And she was what, light skin, colored eyes, and it was like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty. You know, this is what pretty is. And then you keep growing up, and like the telenovelas are the same. You know, so it's hard because like at the time you don't necessarily are very, once again, cognizant of it. You're not thinking about, like, why is it that all the dark-skinned ones are the help and the pretty ones are, you know, light-skinned? Yeah. You don't think about it that much, but it's still affecting you. Just because you're not thinking about it, it's still there. It's still, like, digging
deep. I think it's one of those things where, like, if you're young and you're watching it, you, in your head, you think you're light-skinned. So you don't see yourself as a help, like... Because I remember, because, like, obviously, I see novelas, and I see, you know, the help, and I'm like, oh, you know, that sucks. But then you just, your eyes on, like, the protagonist, light skin. And obviously, everyone who watches anything wants to be the protagonist. So
no, I wanted to be the antagonist. I wanted to be a bad bitch.
But think about it. Even the antagonist with light skin. That's true. It's one of those things where you want to be, like, the main characters, right? You don't want to be the side characters. Mm-hmm. You want to be the main characters. So, that's again, true. It's one of the things when you're growing up, you don't identify yourself as the help, even though you might be kind of, like, the same skin tone. But you're like, oh, like, ooh, like,
but don't you negative think,
connotation on that.
Don't you think that if you saw, like, a darker skin person, you would be like, as the protagonist, you would be like, oh, it's more achievable for me to do this?
Possibly.
And possibly, but we never see
it. Sorry. Exactly. So it's one of those things where if you see, I think so, like, for example, take, when Black Panther came out.
Uh-huh.
A lot of...
It made so much money. And why do you think it did? Because people were lacking that representation.
Exactly. So, and I think that's what really matters, the representation. So, if you're growing up and you see an actress portraying in the same skin tone or a little bit darker, whatever, you're like, oh, she did it. I can do it too. And then you're basically like, what is the word? You're encouraging young generations to, it is achievable.
Yeah.
You can do it too. Mm-hmm. Or do same something like to Barack change. Barack
Obama was president. Yeah. You know? Like, that became a reality for a lot of kids, you know? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I was going to say, because we're almost out of time, how do you... Another question for you. How do you think that you, yourself, can prevent wildfires?
Stop, drop, and roll.
How can you prevent or improve the situation that we're in with racism, you know? Like, what can you do to be anti-racist? Because this is the thing. A lot of people think that just by not being racist is enough. But no, you have to be anti-racist. You have to
honestly think about it. I feel like there is no way in the world where anyone has never, ever been...
discriminatory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I find it hard. 100%.
I want to say maybe me, myself, has been. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to... I don't know. It's one of those things where when you learn that you made a mistake... You grow from it. Like, you need to apologize, yet do something. Like, don't just apologize. Be like, oh, well, I apologize. No. What else will you do? And I think from that would be to educate yourself. Mm-hmm. To become an ally. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say, like, an advocate, no, but more of an ally. Yeah. Uh-huh. Become an ally to that group of people. And if you're doing your part within educating yourself and just being aware of the situation... you're doing a lot. Mm-hmm. Not just that, because you as a person, when you have, you know, kids, you are educated. So then you will educate your kids. So then they will be aware growing up how to treat others. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be putting in a seed. So then those kids grow up and they learn from you and they learn all this. So then they teach their kids or their friends or whatever. So I just think a lot of it would have to be with admitting that you were wrong, and what are you going to do about it? Research, do all of this stuff and become an ally.
Yeah. And that's kind of where my question was, because like, you want to be a parent, you know, and mm-hmm. and I think that's one of the biggest reasons why I don't want to be a parent also, because like, I think it's a lot of pressure on like, raising a person basically that is going to be cognizant, is going to be a good human being. That's the biggest thing.
It's a lot of pressure, right? Because they growing up, you can do what you can to teach mm-hmm. them, but at the end of the day, they're their own person and mm-hmm. they're going to do what...
But you have a lot of influence on them.
Oh, I agree.
A ton of influence.
100%. And I think that's what kind of like, it kind of irks me. Me, because, you know, I'm a little bit more aware of, you know, social injustices and all this stuff that's going on. And I have friends, you know, and I see how they...
A little close-minded, right?
Yes. And I see that and I'm just like, I really hope that your child doesn't come out like the opposite of what you think is okay. Because then you...
Well, no, that would be better, no?
The thing here is, as long as if the kid has support from elsewhere, it's okay. But if the child does not have support from elsewhere, it's going to be tough on the child.
So, like, for example, if they're very homophobic.
Yes.
And their kid was gay.
Right.
That's something that you... Okay, I get what you mean.
It's like, uh-huh. you know, where's... Mm-hmm. As long as the kid has support yeah. from elsewhere,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which is tough mm-hmm. if the whole family is yeah. raised a certain idea.
Yeah.
Then the child is going to be stuck,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
which is, it's very unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And I always say, I believe that it is not wrong to educate the kid. It's okay if you want to educate your kid in your beliefs, but also teach him, you know, be a little bit more open-minded. Mm-hmm. Like, there's people out there who are different than you. Mm-hmm. It is okay. Respect them as you want to be mm-hmm. respected, mm-hmm. and leave it as is. Mm-hmm. Let them live their life because you're living your own life.
Yeah.
And I just find it like that is something to teach. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's people out there who disagree and yeah. they're just like, nope, that is unacceptable. This is the way and yeah. this is the only way. And it's like, and I hope that your child does not...
Suffer. I agree with you 100%. I think that it takes a lot from a person to acknowledge that they don't know stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, for example, answering my own question, it would be, like, my way to, like, combat racism and be anti-racist would be to educate myself, because I think that I still have a lot to learn, you know? I still think that it's one of the biggest reasons why I'm still in school, you know, that I want to be constantly learning, constantly adjusting to the right and wrong. And it's one of those things where, like, if you don't accept that, kind of like how you were saying,
mm-hmm.
you're very much stuck. Because, like, for me, my part, what I'm trying to do is educate my family a little bit, you know? Be like, because, like you said, like, with your mom, you know, like, it's hard to change their way of thinking, you know?
Yeah.
And oftentimes, it's like, that's how they were taught by their parents, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
So it's like, when somebody says something racist in my family, or talks a certain way that I don't like, I'm more open now to calling them out on it, you know? And it's one of those things where, like, you have to hold people accountable and question them, like, why do you think that way? You know, like,
yeah.
why do you think that this is an appropriate way to respond to the situation?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where, like, it is uncomfortable sometimes, you know? So it's like, oh, so it kind of, like, makes me a little bit like
it is, because if they're your family, uh-huh. and like you said, you grew up and no one ever questioned uh-huh. you never questioned them, and the fact until that older, you're yeah. educating yourself and you notice these habits uh-huh. or, you know, just this thing that for them it's normal uh-huh. and then you question them, they'll probably, I don't know how your parents are, I don't know if they like answer your question uh-huh. or they'll just be like, oh, just it's whatever, like they just brush it off, because that's like my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean it that way.
I don't mean it in a way. Okay, let's talk about something else.
Right. It was like, mm-hmm. okay, you don't mean it that way. So what was the reason for you to mm-hmm. say it? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reason why you're saying it, mm-hmm. you know, but it was never a talking conversation for mm-hmm. them. So they don't know how to tackle it. Exactly. So that's why I'm saying, like, I feel like me as a person, like, yes, I cannot change my parents,
mm-hmm.
but the only thing I can do is, like, if I were to have children,
mm-hmm.
to raise them the best that I can and let them know and mm-hmm. let my family know, like, don't implement your ideas to my children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that you could kind of change your parents. You know, like, they had, like, there's a saying, what's the saying? You can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah.
But it's different, you know, like, you definitely can, you know?
Yeah.
So you can influence them, or you can teach them, enlighten them a little bit. But like you said, it's hard. And what you can do directly is, once you have your kid, you know, like, try to be more encouraging, open, teach them. Because a lot of times parents are like, no, that's what they go to school for. But no, the first
thing to learn... Oh my gosh, I hate that. ¿Para qué vas a la escuela? Mm-hmm. Por eso, they'd be like, oh, mija, I need you to read this these legal documents and tell me what it is. I don't know what this word is. Entonces, ¿para qué? I'm in third grade. ¿Para qué vas a la escuela?
I'm really learning how to do fractions. No, wait. Nah, that's too... Third grade
it's is... It's like multiplication. Like, multiplication. More, and they're just questions. So why are you going to school for?
Yeah.
And you're
no,
just
yeah.
like...
I think it's tough. Yeah. But I was going to say, I like this conversation. And I want to keep having these conversations.
Yeah.
I was going to say, a lot of people sometimes say, I can't be racist because I have a black friend. This is not the case for me because I don't have black friends, and it's not because I don't want to. You know, I just feel that it's very disingenuous for me to go out to a black person and be like, oh, I wanna be your friend because you're black and I don't have any black friends, you know? But ideally, whoever's listening, I want to have conversations with you. So, like, if anybody wants to be on the podcast...
Yes, you guys make sure to send us a DM on our Instagram, uh-huh. Which is at Interrupted Rambling. And we also do have a Twitter, which is Interrupted Ramp. Mm-hmm. You can go ahead and also follow both of our pages on Instagram. Mine is Feisty Pisces, and Ricky's is It Is Not Richard, because he is not an old
white
man. And also follow him on Twitter, which is the same handle. And yeah, let us know any other topics. Or,
mm-hmm. or a continuation of this, you know.
Yeah, race talk of course.
We have a whole bunch of more to talk about.
A lot more.
But other than that, our YouTube page is also now live. We have video segments, not the whole podcast, but we have video segments of the podcast. Once again, to listen to the whole episode, go to any of your preferred platform, Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Rate us, write a review, be honest. That helps. Write comments, subscribe on YouTube. But until next time, this was
Interrupted Rambling. Thank you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Yay!